Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Kevin Williamson sitting in for Jim Garrity today. Jim had a very long commute last night, 6 hours to get home in the D.C. snowstorm, and as a result, all the schools are out, so he is on dad patrol today. But Kevin is filling the shoes extremely ably, and as you'll find out, is not only on top of the major stories, but actually breaking some of the key stories that we're talking about today. And Kevin, the good martini today, and it's kind of a drop in the bucket compared to all the spending cuts and reforms that need to be made here, but House Republicans letting it be known once again that everything's on the table. They have now approved the idea of no longer having the taxpayers get involved in presidential campaigns, which of course is raising howls of opposition on the left because they think that perhaps special interests might have a larger role, but instead of the government shoveling hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars at these campaigns. But I think this is a great step, even if it doesn't necessarily make a huge dent in the debt that we got to deal with.
Yeah, all the money it's going to save the government is basically equal to, you know, what we might get from the change in our couches.
Right.
But it's a start. It's a nice symbolic start. I think it's corrosive to have the government funding campaigns at all. You know, campaigns have to be totally independent of the government because otherwise you're building in a real conflict of interest there for the incumbents to write rules and set up institutions in such a way to favor themselves. I mean, they already do it enormously in terms of ballot access and, you know, franking and all the other sorts of privileges they have. So, yeah, let's get government out of the campaign business. It's an inherently corrupt arrangement, and it should be avoided not only for fiscal issues, but for moral reasons, I think.
But as the president pointed out on Tuesday night, Kevin, without the government getting involved, this country not only can't innovate, but there'll be no systematic rules of fairness. So how could we possibly have good elections?
Well, you know what the great thing is about special interests is everybody's a special interest, right? You know, teachers are one special interest. The taxpayers who don't want to be robbed blind by the teachers are another special interest. And they can kind of cancel each other out and fight each other in the marketplace of ideas. That's what you have democracy for. I mean, look, I'm not a big believer in democracy. I mean, democracy is asking a whole bunch of people who don't know much about anything to make decisions for other people. But it does have some virtues. And one of those virtues is forcing people to cancel out each other's, you know, short-term interests and things like that and make them negotiate and compromise. So it's a good thing. And I think, yeah, keep the political class away from it to the extent that you can.
Yeah, let's hope that'll be the case. It sounds like the fundraising operation that Obama's building up means he'll probably forego it anyway, but there's a lot of questions about where some of that money's coming from, too. That's a whole different discussion for another day. On to the bad martini now, and this is a story that you actually broke on Wednesday, and that's just the increasingly obvious state of our horrific fiscal condition. Not only are we looking at a $1.5 trillion deficit for the current fiscal year, the worst on record, but now the Congressional Budget Office is saying that there's not going to be a blip of a positive net flow of cash in Social Security now. It's going to be in the red in perpetuity and will go completely broke in 2037. So a lot of good news there. I guess it comes at a time when Americans are focusing on it a little bit because of what Paul Ryan had to say and maybe a little bit about what the president had to say on Tuesday night. But obviously, not exactly a rosy picture.
Yeah, and by the way, props to the Republicans for putting up Paul Ryan to be the response to the State of the Union. I mean, they're normally gutless political cowards like everyone else in Congress, but he's a totally polarizing guy who's got some I don't agree with all of his ideas. And I don't think everything in the roadmap is great, but it's credible and meaningful and not just happy talk and the stuff that scares people and makes people angry sometimes, but important things that need to be done. And they put him up there and that really sent an important message. But yeah, Social Security. Okay, first of all, I mean, the whole idea of accounting for Social Security separately from the rest of the government is kind of a fraud anyway.
Sure.
But if we do play along with it, right now what they've had, they figured out is that Social Security from here on out is going to be paying out more in benefits than it's collecting in taxes. They had thought that after the recession was over, that payroll taxes would bounce back enough that it would be back in the black, you know, theoretically, for a few more years until Armageddon gets here. But Armageddon's here. Apparently, it got here a couple of years ago. We just didn't even notice it. And so, yeah, that program is predicted to be in, you know, primary deficit from here, you know, forever. So we've got to do something about it. You know, as I always point out, we talk about the national debt being $14.5 trillion. That ain't the real national debt. You know, the real national debt is that plus the states and municipalities, plus the pensions, plus the entitlements. You add that stuff up, you get more like $140 trillion, two times the GDP of planet Earth. two times the world's money supply. That's a lot of money. We simply are not going to write those checks. No one's going to loan us that much money. It's not going to happen. So entitlement reform is one of those things that is going to happen. The question is, do we want it to happen in an orderly way where we're in charge of it, or do we want it to happen in a disorderly way where we run out of money, the bond market stops financing these shenanigans, and the checks start bouncing? I mean, that's the choice that's going to be facing us. And it's not 30, 40 years. It's 10, 15 years, maybe sooner.
Yeah, it's coming due in a real big hurry, and the news of this will probably trigger some liberals to think that the payroll tax break that we got in the compromise deal at the end of the year, you know, that needs to be cranked up or something. So look for that on the horizon. On to the third and final.
And by the way, I wouldn't argue with those liberals if they said that. Payroll tax holiday is the stupidest kind of tax break. These little temporary tax cuts don't do anybody any good. No one makes any long-term investment decisions based on a two-point break in the payroll tax. So, yeah, if you want to get rid of that, that's the kind of tax hike I can get behind.
On to the third martini now, and they're often crazy, sometimes completely outrageous, but this one may take the cake. One of Jim Garrity's favorites, his congressman, in fact, unfortunately, Jim Moran of Virginia, usually one to have a few bombastic comments throughout the year, was interviewed by Al-Hurra, which is a pro-U.S. alternative to Al Jazeera, which we fund, by the way, right after the State of the Union message. And he was asked by the reporter why Republicans did so well in the 2010 elections. And here's what he said. It happened for the same reason the Civil War happened in the United States. It happened because the southern states, the slaveholding states, didn't want to see a president who was opposed to slavery. He goes on to say, in this case, I believe a lot of people in the United States don't want to be governed by an African-American, particularly one who is liberal, who wants to spend money, and who wants to reach out to include everyone in our society, unquote, which is fascinating considering apparently Americans have taken on a radical racist bent between 2008 and 2010 because Americans love the guy then. And if you look at the states where most of the seats were picked up, the huge swings, pretty sure those were union states. You're looking at Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Wisconsin, not exactly bastions of Confederacy, Kevin.
Well, okay, Ohio might have gone either way during the Civil War. You know, it may be a, you know, accident of history that Ohio ended up where it did. This is outrageous. You know, this is the sort of thing that, I mean, it's hard to say this about Jim Moran, who is just one vowel off of having a really descriptive name. But it's outrageous enough. It's the sort of thing you ought to resign over. I mean, you don't go out and accuse the American people of being a horrible, nasty racist, especially to some you know, Arab news outlet was going to broadcast this stuff all over the Middle East, which hurts us worse than we're hurt there anyway. I mean, Jim Moran has said a lot of stupid, indefensible, outrageous things over the course of his political career, which has been, generally speaking, stupid, outrageous, and pointless, no matter what he said about it. But this is sort of like all the people who right after the shooting in Tucson came out and blamed Palin. You know, I think we ought to revisit that stuff, starting here and maybe in a couple of weeks. And every office holder who said, oh, this is the Tea Party, this is Sarah Palin, these people should resign. They should be forced out of office. These are accusations that are beyond the pale. They're beyond the bounds of reasonably acceptable discourse. And we ought to force these people out of office. And Jim Moran, yeah, should definitely go.
Yeah, start with him at the top of the list. Kevin?
And no great loss.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. We had outside hopes that he might go down in November. Unfortunately, he won again very easily. It's an extremely liberal district, so unless he's indicted and convicted, he's probably not going to lose that seat anytime soon. So plenty to keep our eyes on the rest of this week and into the next. Kevin, great to have you with us today. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much.
Kevin Williamson of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us next time for the Three Martini Lunch.